This is WSIU in Focus. I'm Brad Palmer. SIU Carbondale is welcoming student athletes back to campus as the Saluki Athletics Department tries to prepare for a fall sports season starting next month. The first 50 who returned to campus in late June all tested negative after a quarantine period and are now working out. A second group of 77 student athletes began their quarantine period earlier this week after a series of educational sessions on what to expect. I talked with Director of Athletics Liz Jarnigan about how Saluki Athletics is monitoring the COVID-19 situation.
What is this educational process for these student athletes? What do they have to be able to do during this quarantine isolation process?
We go through some of the basics of what the quarantine looks like, clarify that that doesn't mean that they cannot leave their apartment or, you know, where they are. At all, but that they, if they do go out in public, that they need to go to the grocery store or what have you, that they need to, you know, embrace the concepts of social or physical distancing and wear a mask. Part of what we go over is the systems check process. So they'll report to our athletic trainers, kind of in a drive-through situation here at the Banterra Center, twice a day to have their temperature checked and go through a systems check just to make sure that we're monitoring for COVID-19 symptoms up until and then beyond the time that that they test for COVID. They're not really instructed not to go anywhere. They are instructed to you know, self-isolate on their own. Certainly, if they leave town and come back, that quarantine process has to start over again. And that's one of the things that's clarified. In terms of our campus and our facilities on our campus, not every aspect of our buildings and facilities are open to the public, and so they're instructed as to when, for example, basketball players might be able to have access to Banterra Center to shoot some baskets, and how many people can be there at a time.
What happens if one of these student athletes tests positive? What goes into effect then, or is there a protocol then to what happens?
Yeah, the protocol really becomes the protocol of the Jackson County Health Department. They'll take over the contact tracing, and they will dictate precisely what kind of isolation quarantine needs to happen as a result of that. Part of our education with the student athletes is should they have a roommate and they test positive or the roommate tests positive, then there are quarantine isolation impacts as dictated by, you know, the CDC and our local health department that would impact someone even if they're a healthy roommate. So at that point, the health department tells that person and us how to move forward.
We've seen some universities that have had to shut down their workouts because they've had a certain number of student athletes test positive. Is there a number that if you reach here at SIU, you're going to say, okay, we got to stop the workouts that have just gotten underway?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have not talked about, is there a certain number? And certainly if we see that we have an isolated case or two and we're able to manage it well, I think we should be okay. If we feel like it's an outbreak or we have concern that we may not have been able to catch the COVID positive in time and that there's been other contact, that would play into a decision. But I don't know that it's a precise number, but it's just a sense for if it's an isolated case or if we've got a real issue. And again, we'll take counsel from from the doctors and the health department as to, you know, how to move forward in that situation.
What's your optimism level as far as being able to get the fall season started on time?
I am optimistic and realistic. And so given that where we are today, you know, across the country and within our own community, I mean, there are things to be optimistic about. There are things to be very concerned about. And so Obviously, we feel if we can get back to football, then we understand that we can get back to volleyball, soccer, and cross country as well. Football is very much a contact sport, but you know it's important for everyone. All of those sports, and basketball is counting on things going well, and our spring sports want things to go well because they were robbed of a spring season, and they don't want to be robbed of another one. And so, I think there's some anxiety, but we're certainly not at a place where we think all is lost. We're being as careful as we possibly can to navigate this fragile path forward towards competition in the fall. And that's the best we can do.
You mentioned the aspect of testing these student athletes. I know that Patty Viverito, the commissioner of the Missouri Valley Football Conference, was talking here recently about the sheer cost of doing that for these schools. It can be in the six figures. How's SIU balancing the cost of doing all this testing to keep the athletes safe and to be able to continue, as you mentioned, moving forward with workouts and then hopefully seasons here in the fall?
We're trying to figure out how often we will be able to test moving forward. Obviously, we want to test regularly, and that truly may be not be possible given the cost. And the other component to it is not just cost, it's availability. And so we certainly wouldn't want to be in a situation where we're testing on a regular basis to the extent that now we're limiting the number of tests that may be available to the general community. You know, we're not going to do that. And so part of our plan and the uncertainty of the plan rests on the availability of testing as well.
We're in phase four of the state of Illinois' Restore Illinois plan, which I believe does allow, at least at outside venues, for about 20% fan capacity. Are you looking forward to maybe having some folks being able to attend football games this fall?
Yes, we are. We are very much looking forward to that. And we've done some modeling. We think we have the ability to adapt our seating arrangements so that we can meet that 20% requirement as it currently stands, so fans can enjoy the games. And we're also extremely hopeful that by the time we get to the beginning of the fall season, that that percentage of people allowed in outdoor venues may go up a little bit. And so we're preparing for several different scenarios.
Let me ask you about ticket sales. Obviously, this has been an ongoing process. Are tickets still being able to be purchased right now?
Tickets are available. Tickets are available for basketball as well. We would not be able to ticket any of our events if we don't operate the ticketing now. We don't have the manpower technology to be able to all of a sudden 3 days prior turn something on and be able to ticket it. And the other thing is we are optimistic enough about having events that it would be ridiculous for us not to ticket.
Now, if you sell tickets beyond, say, what a 20% capacity would be able to handle, what happens to those people who maybe aren't allowed in the stadium because you've run out of room?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and that's part of the considerations and modeling we'll have to think about. Honestly, that would be a wonderful problem for us to have. We currently don't have that issue, we would love to have that much demand for football tickets right now to have to turn people away. Right now, we're still trying to tell people, we want you to come.
Yeah, that's another aspect of this. There might be some hesitancy from the fans themselves to come to a game at this point.
Sure, and that's completely understandable, totally understandable. We realize that many people in the community are more vulnerable to infection and at higher risk, and we certainly don't want to encourage anybody to place themselves or their family members at risk. And it's like we're even telling the student athletes they need to feel comfortable coming back. They seem to be clamoring to come back. They're eager to get back to practice, but everybody needs to feel comfortable and do the right thing, make the right choices for themselves in that regard.
You've been around athletic programs for a long time. You're You recently named the head of the SIU athletic department. What's it been like to try and plan for the unknown? I mean, you're literally planning for things you still don't know what's going to happen in 2 months when the seasons are getting ready to start, and you're still trying to get ready for them.
Yeah, it's been interesting. It's uncomfortable because when you have we're athletes and coaches. My background is in teaching and coaching, and planning is really an important component of the work I've done for over 33 years. And to have so much uncertainty and ambiguity related to a fall season that really, in any other year, you think is just around the corner is difficult. We realize that we are not in this alone. All of our conference counterparts and counterparts across the country are dealing with the same set of uncertainties. Media is asking, what are you going to do? And we don't have answers. And we just have to wait to see what unfolds. And Patty Viverito, you mentioned her earlier. I think you may have watched her interview from a couple of days ago. She put it really well. I mean, the virus is going to tell us how it's going to look. The virus is going to tell us how that happens. And I also think our community, the extent to which they embrace the greater good for the community in terms of social distancing and mask wearing to help keep the spread of the virus low, will determine whether or not we get to compete.